Yes. Well, good morning. There's just such a beautiful presence of the Lord among us this morning, right? You sense it. And I must say, I feel a little bit messed up in a good way, in a like a scriptural way. And I think I'm just going to, what I'm going to share with you is just, I'm going to pray right now that my messed upness will come over in a good way. And and that we will hear what the Lord is saying, because I just want to add actually on what has already been said this morning. So the message will just continue out of that. So let's close our eyes and let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are here. Lord, and we just want to acknowledge that you are speaking to us. And Lord, we want to ask for your grace to hear your voice and to respond accurately, Lord, to it. Lord, we want to say that we trust you in the movement. We trust you, God. We say, Lord, that we do not lean on our own understanding, but we trust you. If you move, we move with you, God. Father, so I want to pray, Lord, and ask just for the ability to communicate what is on your heart. And God, for you to open up our hearts to receive what it is that you want to say, God. I pray, Lord, and I want to declare over us as a house that we are people that see, we are people that hear, and we are the people who perceive what it is that you are doing. Father, we want to declare that we are a people that can discern seasons and times. And thank you, Lord, that you tell them to us so that we do not miss them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who's here for the first time this morning? I just want to welcome you guys. Welcome, welcome. My name is Niels. It's good to have you guys with us. I think Yapi's family is also here, but they all have got babies. They're in the mother's room. So welcome to you guys. I just want to, this morning, spend a moment to speak to us about where we have come and where we are and this invitation that the Lord is placing before us. Now, I think I want to start off by just honoring Jesus. Like, he calls us, then he empowers us, then he goes before us. And we get to be a part of what he's doing on the earth. That is a massive privilege, right? That's a massive privilege for each one of us to be a part of what he's doing on the earth right now at this moment. And I was thinking the other day about just where we started and where Jan and Wendy started. And when you look back at it, you know, sometimes people ask you, what did you do? It, for me, it's difficult to pinpoint what we did right or wrong. All I can say is God is faithful. And that is all I can testify to, that he's faithful. And he's been faithful, and I want to tell you, he's going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful. But there is a sense at this current moment, like the word came out this morning, that there's a sense of movement happening. Something is moving, and some of you might already testify to this in your spirit, that you're sensing something is changing. Some of you might even have, wat is dit hier, of geïrriteerd, of niet geïrriteerd, gefrustreerd, frustrated. Some of you will almost have like almost a frustration inside of you. Some of you will actually feel frustrated with yourself, feeling like, yes, man, I know the Lord has more for me. How did I get to this place where I am right now? Whatever it is that you are sensing at this moment, it's God is speaking. He's causing this because he's causing movement. Okay? And I just want to share a little bit around this. And we want to share it because we don't want to miss what is happening. And I don't want you to miss. We don't want you to miss what is happening at this moment. Now, whenever there is movement, sometimes we just don't know how to respond to what God is doing. What must I do? How do I respond in times where God is moving? And I just want to touch on a few truths surrounding this. Sometimes for us, when God is moving in our lives, when God is calling us higher, you know, you get to these times where you so clearly hear God's voice and you know what he's telling you to do next and where it is to go. But you have other seasons where you struggle to hear the voice of God. It just seems like God seems a little bit silent. So what do you stop doing anything in those times, in those seasons? No, you don't. There's truths in Scripture that we keep on doing it. So if you can't hear, you go to the truths, to the beginsels, until you hear again, and then you follow again his voice. Does that make sense? Okay. So God started speaking to us at the end of last year. We spent quite a lot of time on love and obedience. Can you remember that? Okay. And then the Lord said to us, he wants us to live as sent ones. And we're sensing almost a call for the church to be an apostolic people again. The idea that, and the truth that God is calling you to live in a way in your workplace, at home, as if Christ himself sent you there. All right? As if Christ himself sent you there to live in such a way. And then, so we've got this truth. We've got this call from the Lord that this is where he's calling us. And then the Lord started speaking to us about Nehemiah and rebuilding the walls and rebuilding the walls of salvation and the gates of praise. And we've been spending a lot of time on that and rebuilding Jerusalem to a certain extent. And Jerusalem is a type of a kingdom. And the Lord is starting to speak to us about the kingdom, to understand the gospel of the kingdom, the original message that Christ came to preach, right? Now, it's important for us to understand that. So it was like the Lord was saying, listen, I want you to live as sent ones, but first I want to start establishing something in the inside of you. I want to establish my kingdom in the inside of you so that when you are sent for a reason, because you're sent to represent the king and to establish the kingdom wherever you go. Does that make sense? So you need to have an understanding. So the Lord is, we're in this process of rebuilding, of reestablishing, to find out what the message of Christ is and what he has called each one of us to. Most of us come out of a traditional background where the church was not really called to participate in what the Lord is doing. And I want to declare that season is over. The saints of the living God, that is you, are called to do the work of the ministry. Amen? Amen. I love Chris Valentin who says, if you follow Jesus, you are in the ministry. You might suck at it, but you are in it. So you must embrace it, learn, and go with it. Okay? You are called. Your workplace, you cannot wait for the Dominee to change your workplace. God has called you there for a reason. You are the agent of change there through the power of Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Right? So the church, there's a movement that God is giving the church back to the church to a certain extent. You, we are the church. And we are all called to participate in what the Lord is doing at the moment. It is not only one man or two men or three men or whatever. The church will be... The church is just so much richer when everybody participates. Then we are the true reflection of who the Lord is. So we sense this call of Jesus and this invitation of Jesus for us. But within the us, there's you. This invitation is coming to you. Do you want it? How are we going to respond to it? How are you going to respond to it? Our response is dependent on your response. We want to, guys, many times saying we want to transform a city, but transform people transforms the city. It starts with the individuals that come together and then there's movement within them. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay. So it's like the Lord is calling us. It's like the Lord is calling us higher. He's calling us to change, calling us to movement. I mean, we live in glorious days. We live in the last days, right? Not in the last day. Thank you, Jesus, for that. The great day is going to be a scary day, a glorious and scary day. But we live in the last days, in the times where the Lord pours out his Spirit upon the church, in the times where sons and daughters prophesy, in times where young men see visions, and in the times when old men dream dreams. We live in those times. We live in the times where the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church and where the gifts of Christ is manifest within the church. In the times where the gifts of Christ are given to the church to equip the church and equip the saints for the work of ministry. We live in the times where we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, and you are called to minister and to reconcile the world to Christ. This is the times we live in. I think the Lord is calling us almost to a higher standard. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like the standard which Christ is calling me, I've lowered that standard to a standard that I can achieve or I can reach or anything like this. And I'm just sensing the Lord is reestablishing His standard of who He is and what He has intended for His church and what He is calling us to. Okay? So for each one of this invitation comes to each one of us. And for each one of us to taste and see that the Lord is good, we are called to engage our will. God is so good that He gives us what we choose. He gives us, we will have what we choose at the end of the day. Okay? You won't become your desires. You won't become your emotions. You will become what you choose. Your life will follow your choices, okay? You won't become what you want. You will become what you will, what you choose. That is what you will become, okay? So, say for instance, in worship, many times, I don't know if you ever had this sense that you don't want to worship. I don't feel like I don't want to, okay? Then the scriptures say you bring a sacrifice of praise. What does that mean? That means I don't want to, but I'm choosing to. I'm, with my will, choosing to do this. Now, what you will find, if you will it, you will find yourself wanting it. Does that make sense? But you don't follow your wants. That's very scary for some of us. Don't follow your wants. You choose, and when you choose that, when you will that, you will find yourself wanting it. Now, whenever the invitation comes, it comes down to this. Do you want it or not? Do you want this? Do you want the more? Do you want to grow? Do you want to experience the more in the Lord? Be changed from one degree of glory to the next. But we have to start with this truth that do you want it? Because I cannot choose that for you. Does that make sense? When God is calling, when God is moving, we must choose to move with Him, or we can choose to stay behind. But I've come to notice that God will move on, but He is good enough to reroute you to get to where He is again. But your road will just, it won't be so glorious. Okay, it must be a road of discipleship within that, all right? So, bottom line is this. When God is moving and when He's calling us to movement, the choice lands into your hands. Do you want to move with God? Your will is called to this, right? Jan also quoted the scripture in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And we all say that, I'll be transformed by the renewal of my mind. Huh? You remember that scripture. And just before that, the first one, I think, is necessary for the second verse to come into play. We need to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. So somewhere we must choose, God, I'm giving myself to the movement that You are calling us to. I don't know what it is. I don't even know how to do this, but I'm just saying, here I am. Now, that is all the Lord is asking you to do. When movement is happening, when He's calling us to movement, He doesn't need you to have to figure out everything with your 10-point plan, with your roadmap, with everything. Lord, it's okay, I don't need You. I've got everything figured out. He's not wanting that. He's just wanting someone that says, Lord, I sense You are moving, and I'm just saying I'm here. All right? He can do a lot with that. Okay, He will cause movement. He will call you to where He wants to call you. But this first part, and I think when God is calling us, and as He's calling us, you can dot this down. We must will it. We hear it, but then we must choose it. It's like getting a wedding invitation. The only way you're going to experience the wedding is if you respond accurately to the invitation. Right? You'll either enjoy the wedding with everybody, or you will be staying at home and watching Seven Alone. Which Jesus forbids us. Is that wrong to say that? Okay, just sorry. When we are called to movement, we must remember we are called to change. Change will confront each one of us in movement. Change is a good thing. Can we say this together? Change is a good thing. Okay, I think if I ask who likes change in this room, I think maybe one person will put up their hand. Jesus, come on, miracles. The rest of us, we don't like change, but change is something that happens. It happens to us. Some of you who are older will know that change happened to you. Amen? Life happens to you, right? We've got small kids, like my life is constantly changing. Just when I want to do this, that happens, and you need to readjust. We need to walk away from this thing that I don't like change to the place where I embrace change. Change is not bad. It is actually good. Dead things, this thing will never change because it's dead. So if there's change in your life, praise Jesus, because that means you are actually alive and spiritually alive, okay? That's a good thing, right? But new seasons, Isaiah 42 says, behold the form of verse 9 says, you don't have to, I'm just gonna read this for us. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I now declare before it spring forth. I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. New seasons ask for a new way of thinking. It asks for a new song. If we want to experience new things in Christ, it might mean that we have to do new things. Does that make sense to you guys? Right? The second truth that I just want to drop, in times of change, great humility is needed. Great humility. It is walking into the unknown. Now, many of us don't like mystery, but mystery is something we must get used to with Jesus. There will always be a measure of great mystery, a measure of things we do not understand. And that is why he says in the scriptures, don't lean on your own understanding, but in all things, trust him. And he calls us many times to mystery because he wants to show us he's faithful. He's trustworthy in those seasons. All he asks of you is, Lord, I sense you. So if you just sense in God you are moving, that's enough. Secondly, Lord, I'm here. I want to move with you. And said, Lord, secondly, Lord, teach me. Thirdly, Lord, teach me. There's this quote from Eric Hoffer. He says, in times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. In times of change, learners inherit the earth. So we take the position of humility and teachability and say, Lord, we're sensing something new. You're calling us into something. Teach me. Teach me your way. Moses said, teach me your way so that I may know you. Teach me your way. Teach me your way. So the learners, those who in humility position themselves to be taught, will inherit the earth, while those in pride that think they know everything, the learned, will find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that does not exist. We are living in changing times. The world that our kids are growing up is different than the world that we grew up. Change is happening to us. Now, let me tell you something. God has not called the church to be at the back end of the changes around us. He's calling us forward in the forefront of change that is happening. We lead it. We lead it as the church. All right? So humility. You must want it, and humility. We must position ourselves to have it. Now, you guys can open up your Bibles. I'm going to read out of the Bible eventually. Joshua 1. Now, when I was praying about this, the Lord just took me to this passage where the Israelites went over into the promised land to inherit their promises, to take in their promises. And to a certain extent, it feels to me like the Lord is calling us to that. And for the Israelites to take in the land, they need to be movement, right? Like we heard this morning. And it was a transition phase. Who have you seen? It's like, if you are here and God is calling you here, this is many times glorious, but there's a land in between where you are and where you need to go. And what we do in this time is extremely important. this life, this journey that we embark on, to actually take in the land. Now, the Israelites went through a massive transition from the wilderness into the promised land. Now, think about this. All they estimate there were about 3 million, right? About 3 million Israelites, of which 2 have been in the promised land. All the others have been born in the wilderness. That is all they know. You remember they went to the promised land and the guys said that, no, we don't want to take it in. We don't want to have it. And the Lord said, okay, you're going to stay for 40 years. You're going to be in the desert. You're going to come around your promises all the time until, again, this point where he called them to move. And in those time, in those 40 years, everybody that was part of that first movement where they got to their promises, everybody died in the wilderness except Joshua and Caleb. What kept them from death in the wilderness? And I think this is a key. They had the ability. They went with the other spies into the land. All the other spies saw was the giants. All Joshua and Caleb saw was God. They held on to what the Lord has said. And they said, this land is good for us. We want to take it in. God is giving it to us. Right? Now, we were reminded yesterday evening, Frankie and myself, of we received the scripture when we planted here, I don't know, 7 years ago. Some of you that were here and that the Lord gave that scripture to us, that moment where they went into and came back. Maybe we must read it together quickly. I think it's Numbers 17. Numbers 14, verse 7. The second part. The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Now, I want to tell you, where the Lord is calling us is a good place. Okay? It's going to be good. It's a good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Who of you know that the Lord, by the blood of Christ, he delights in you? He doesn't actually only tolerate you. Actually likes us, right? If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Then all the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the peoples. So they had this moment where all the people said no because of fear. Because our culture is rid of fear. Right? And the Lord is saying that where he's calling us, he has already prepared it. It is as if fear comes upon the enemy's camp when we move in faith and in trust. When you just say, Lord, here I am, I'm willing to move with him. And the Lord has took them into the wilderness for 40 years, to teach the people obedience. When the cloud column was before them, when it stopped, they stopped. Right? And then you start setting up camp. We spoke about this in the week. And then the Lord moves on. And when that cloud moves, you pack up camp and you move. You don't, nee, maar Here is loon lekker so. Ek weet nou net, ek moet die water daar gaan haal. And I actually liked my neighbor for once. The previous camp, I didn't like him. I've got a good neighbor and now the cloud is moving again. When the cloud moves, you pack up. If it's uncomfortable or not, you pack up. If it's inconvenient, you pack up, but you move. Otherwise, you stay alone in the desert, right? When the Lord moves, we move. That is what the Israelites was taught for 40 years, right? And again, God brings them to their promise. And say, are you ready to trust me? I'm going to take you in this. I'm going to take you in this. I'm telling you, there's a reason why the Lord has spoken to us about obedience and love. Now, think about this. Almost 3 million people born in the desert, they only know the way of the desert. They know the way that they wake up in the morning and there's bread, there's stuff to eat, there's water, God is the miraculous God for them, and he does miracles to them. Here they cross the river, and all the miracles stop. Actually, it did not stop. It just changed. God changed from doing miracles to them to doing miracles through them. And that is embracing that all of us need to embrace if we want to walk and taste and see and move with the Lord. He stopped doing miracles to them and he started doing miracles through them. They came into the promises of God, and where God has the cloud stopped, the fire column stopped, this all stopped. And God said, now I'm going to bless you to work on the earth, and I'm going to bless your labor. Who of you know that God has set out good works for you to walk in before the foundations of this earth? Right? It's not talking about salvation. We are saved from works to works, if that makes sense to you. We are not called, and I think I grew up in thinking of, I get saved and then I just come to church and I sit in church and that's enough. And there's just so much more. There's a better life that we are all called to, right? God is not only wanting to do miracles to you, he's wanting to do miracles through you. Amen? He's inviting us to invade sometimes our boring life with his supernatural life and love, right? Where we don't only come to a Sunday for life to happen, but he invades our life so that our life happens in the week and we come to a Sunday to celebrate what the Lord is doing. I don't know about you, but that sounds way better to me, right? To celebrate what God is doing, to live as those sent ones. And I believe that is, and we believe that is what the Lord is calling us to. But there is transition that happens. And I think we need to understand this transition. Okay, let's read together in Joshua. I'm just going to read the first 9 verses, and I'm just going to point out a few thoughts, and then we're going to end off. Okay, so remember, you must want it. The call of the Lord, it touches your will. And it touches your position. And we take the position of humility before him. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Now, the promises of God is saying to them, I'm giving it to you, but are they possessing it already? No. So God's call comes, and movement from me is needed to take possession of it. Does that make sense? Okay. Verse 3, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Ephrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Thank you, Jesus, in our movement. He will not leave us or forsake us. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isn't that comforting? Right? It is this tension that we feel between what the Lord is giving us, where we are, the fear of the feeling of being afraid, of taking in the new, going in the unseen, going in what is unknown to me. It is managing the tension of feeling that versus God's goodness, the promises that he has for us. And we need to manage that tension. And we actually choose at the end of the day, which side do we lean to? Okay? Which side do we lean to? But I want to say this, when God is calling the Israelites to movement and to cross the river and to take in the land, we must understand, if you give yourself as a living sacrifice and saying, Lord, I want to come with you, you are committing to a process. It is a process. When the Israelites took in the land of Canaan, God didn't give them the whole country in one go. He gave it to them little by little. In Deuteronomy 7:22, the Lord says, the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. And he says he's going to do that so that the wild animals don't become too much and overtake the people of God in the promised land. So if you don't have everything together in the movement, that's fine. Just know that God is starting to pull you into a process that he's going to walk out with you. Okay? So be patient. The Israelites, to get 3 million people over a river that was in flood in harvest time, they say the river was about 1.8 kilometers wide. To get 3 million people through a river that is 1.8 kilometers wide, it didn't take 10 minutes. Okay? It didn't take one sermon. It took time. It was a process that we are committing ourselves to. We're committing ourselves to a process of growth, a process of becoming free, a process of tasting and seeing. And although each one of us is at a different spiritual place, God is calling us to move together. And he moves with each individual where you are, what is needed at that moment, but we go over together. I'm thinking of, I would have just liked my wife not to be pregnant when we like did that. But guess what? There were pregnant women. There were small babies. Life happened. And life happens to us all. But it seems to me at this stage that life that happens is ruling the church. We just reactive all the time. No, I can't do this because that happened. And I believe the Lord is calling us higher to lead and out of a place of being proactive. I decide. I decide how my schedule is going to look. The world does not decide. I need to manage my time, and I do that according to my priorities. So when God is moving, it's good for us to say, Lord, what is my priorities? And I'm going to schedule my life in such a way that I get to my priorities. We are not called, we are called to arise and shine. Amen? Amen. That's not going to happen when we are reactive all the time to crises all around us. Right? God is giving us a good yes so that we know what to say no for. But we are going into a process. Now, so give yourself humility. You must choose humility. It's a process. Fourth one, the most important thing in this time, we believe, is the presence of God. I don't have all the things. I can't give you all the nitty gritty of what's going to happen to us or where the Lord is leading us. We have a sense, but we can't quantify it yet. But all we know is he's calling us to movement. And the most important thing in this time is his presence. We don't want to move if his presence doesn't move before us and we go with him. Now, it was interesting when the Lord gave Joshua his marching orders. Now, they're going over to go and do military activity, right? They have to go and fight and take in the land. God is going to give it to them. He's going to do miraculous things through them. But he doesn't give him military instruction. God gives Joshua spiritual instruction to take in the land. He tells Joshua, listen here, you must meditate. You make sure to meditate on my law. Now, he did not say to Joshua, meditate on the vision. It's good to think of the promises, but we don't worship the promise. We worship the one that gives the promise. So when he says to Joshua, you meditate on my law, he's saying to him, you meditate on who I am. You meditate on my character, on who I am. Why does he say that to us? Because if we start meditating on what we need to take in, and you start measuring and thinking about where you are and where God is calling you, you're saying, you're going to flow fall. Just a feel for your brain to hanteer. Of vir myne ten minste. Okay, vir my en Karl se breine. Dis net we become despondent, we become scared, we become overtaken by life. It feels like life is closing in on us if we meditate only on where we are going. God's plans for you will scare you. Right? And I think sometimes I like to be scared in such a way, but just for a little while. Then I'm like, Lord, I just want to meditate on who you are. Because when I look at him, that seems possible. If I only look at that and I look at me, it's like, Jesus, you've got the wrong man here. Need to go and look for somebody else. He tells Joshua, meditate on my law. Now, what do they do when they cross the river? They send in what first? The ark into the water, right? What does the ark represent? It represents his presence. The presence go in first, and it goes into a river that has not dried up yet. Sometimes we are called in times of change to do stuff that is inconvenient, or it feels inconvenient to me or you, but we are called to walk into places where the water has not dried up yet. And to bring the presence of God there, to praise his name. What happens when we praise him? He's enthroned in the praises of his people. The ark, the presence went in first, and when that happened, the water started welling up. Now there's some of us, I just sense in my spirit that the water is already starting to well up for you. And there's others of you that need to walk into that river, need to walk into this newness of what the Lord is calling us to. A thankful people. I think if there's ever a culture that we want to generate in our midst, it is being a thankful people. Being a thankful people. Thankful for the small things, for the big things. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, scripture says, praise him always. This is God's will. Thank him always. You don't always thank him for all your circumstances, but you thank him in all circumstances. Right? Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to thank him for all our circumstances because some of them aren't that good. But when we start thanking him in our circumstances, he comes and inhabits the praises of his people and he establishes his throne and his kingdom in circumstances, and then the water can start moving. Movement is generated because he is there. Is that good? Okay. So the ark goes in first, the presence. So what are we calling the church to? You must decide, position yourself humbly before the Lord to be taught. Just know you're committing yourself to a process, and then you praise him. You praise him. And make time for that day in and day out. You just praise him. You just praise him. Do you know why he's in our midst? Because we are thankful people. And I love this, about our house. We're thankful people. That's why he comes. That's why he comes. That's why he's here. And in the times to come, we will have invitation even for you guys to come and worship in front. And if you feel a sense to come, I want to invite you, come and worship in front. I don't know why, but it's different. You know, Niels 3 verse 1 says, revival starts in the front row. And I'm just still looking for scriptural reference to my own scroll that I'm writing. But I don't know why it is different. It's sometimes for me, guys, and listen, you're looking to the guy that was, ek het weggekry in die agterkant van die kerk, okay? But sometimes there's something that happened inside of me when I walked out of where I'm comfortable out, just and come and standing in a place where I'm uncomfortable and just worshiping Jesus in the uncomfortable places, okay? Now, you're not going to come under church discipline if you don't come to the front, okay? It's not a matter of coming to the front or not, although I want you to come to the front. It speaks, I don't know why it's different in the front, but it's different when we get into unity. But what I want you to do, again, your will, to take your will and to engage with Christ, right? We don't come to a Sunday, we're not here to entertain anybody. We want to touch Jesus. Like this morning, he was here. Right? He was in our midst. It's righteousness, joy, and peace. It's just, he's here. He's still here. He's in our midst. We want to touch God together, and we want the Lord to touch you. It's not the worship band's responsibility to bring you into worship. We've got amazing musicians. I love it. But it is your choice if you will come into his throne room, if you will run into his throne room. And we want to be a thankful people. There's no condemnation here. A people that run in boldly into his throne room of grace. and touch him and come before him and say, God, I want to celebrate what happened this week. Send me out again. Stretch out your hand with signs, miracles, and wonder, God. I need to take your kingdom of light in dark places. My work is a dark place. Thank you for my work. Thank you for my boss that irritates me sometimes, but I want to bless him.
Amen.
Not because I want to, but because... Ek en jy gaan môre oggend praat. Kan nie. It's a process. Like I said, it's a process. It's a process. But I want to bless my boss that irritates me, not because I want to, but because I will. Because I choose it. I call and make good choices and bless me in Jesus' name. The last point I want to make, and then I'm going to end off. Just before they took in the city, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders in our midst. There's a sense when God is calling us up to his holy mountain. You know, I think we spoke about it this week, that many times when we come to repentance, we only think of what we're turning away of, the sin I'm turning away of. But repentance also have the sense, what am I turning to? What am I going to? Not only stuck where I come from, but what is the Lord calling me to? Where am I going? And you guys know you are not sinners that save. I am. Many times we say, I am a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner saved by grace. Now the scriptures call you a saint. You are a saint. Let's say that together. I am a saint. I am a saint. You are called separate from the world. There is a consecration when we move with the Lord that each one of us is called to. And we cannot lower that standard of Christ. Does that make sense? Gossip will never be okay. It's not okay to drink too much. Okay? It's not okay. It's not okay to entertain lust. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn you. I'm saying the Lord is calling you out of that. He's calling you out of that, out of addiction, out of those thought patterns where you think, it's impossible, Lord. I can't change. Right? Change is upon us. If we don't give ourselves to the Lord, that I almost have the sense, I love this word that Jan brought, that he's going to give us, I almost sense he's going to give us speed where the world is changing before us and we're lagging, where he will give us speed to go and come ahead again, to lead with righteousness, with joy, and with peace into the purposes of God. Our hearts is this, so that you may become all you are called to be in Christ. Not to have our prayer for you is not to have a normal life. Jesus, help us if you have a normal life. We want you to have a supernatural life, the life that Christ came to give us. And we're not lowering that standard. We are putting that standard here, and we are going for that standard. Amen. Where signs, miracles, and wonders happen through your life. Not through the leader's life. It's going to happen through our lives as well. But where it happens through your life. Don't be so focused on what you do right and wrong. Be focused on him. Meditate on him. Amen? And he will lead you in all truth. So we just sense that there's movement. And as God is establishing his kingdom, rebuilding, and we are all in this process together and in this movement together. So we just wanted to take time, and we will still speak to you about this in the times coming. Next Sunday we will continue to speak about this and the kingdom and the manifestation of the kingdom in our life and through our life, and it happens through culture and all these things. But we will speak about this in the coming days. Today we just want to that God is so faithful in speaking to us in the worship already about this movement. And we just want to say, let's everybody get on the same page. God is calling. We are hearing him calling. A lot of you are sensing this in your spirit already. He's calling us to this movement. And we just want to say this morning as a house, Lord, we give ourselves as a living sacrifice. We are choosing this. We are choosing this. Now, we must understand that, will there be uncomfortable times? Yes, absolutely. Okay, there will be uncomfortable times. It might be feeling, I think it was uncomfortable for the priests to walk in a flooded river or a river that's in flood without it drying up. Okay? You are called to movement. So all we are asking for the house is this. Take down your tent, roll up your mat. God is moving and we're going to move with him. Is that good? Okay, let's stand together. All right, so all we're asking for now and what is needed to know now is God is moving. Do we want to move with him? We position ourselves humbly before him. Say, Lord, we want to come with you. We position ourselves to be taught by the Lord in this time of transition. It is going to be a process, and we are fine with that. God is with us. We're going to listen to his voice, and we're going to take the steps that he calls us to. And our heart is that this house, that we will to move together as one, as a house. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Help one another as we move into the standard of what the Lord has for each one of us. We're going to praise him in all circumstances, good or bad. We're going to praise him. And he's going to make the way before us to walk in. All we know now is that he is good. He has called us to this place. He has been faithful and he will continue to be faithful. And we will worship him for that. He will consecrate us. He will clean us. We're the saints of the Lord. Where God raises a standard. And when he raises above us in glory with light. And we are called to testify. We are living in the last days, the glorious days, when the church is called to be the witness of Jesus Christ. We were called, and you are part of the church. You are called to be the witness of Christ. And that is what he's inviting us into. That is what he's inviting you into. So Lord, we just want to say thank you this morning that you are here. Thank you that you have been speaking to us through our singing together and worship time, God, that you are calling us for movement. You are calling us higher. You are calling us to yourself, Lord. And we want to say, Lord, here we are. We as a house, in the heart of the house, Lord, we put ourselves on the altar as a living sacrifice, God. Thank you that your fire falls on the sacrifice, God. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, that your blood covers us. That you don't come critical, as we heard this morning, Lord. Come and look for faults in us. But when you look at us, you see the blood of Christ and you see this is a beautiful offering. Holy Spirit, we want to honor you as the Spirit of the living God that said you're going to come and you're going to make your home in our midst. And you're going to manifest Christ to us. Father, we want to say this morning and declare death over hopelessness in Jesus' name. We want to declare death over fear in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to speak boldness and courage to the house in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that we will stand astound through the things that you do in us and through us in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you will stretch out your hand with signs, miracles, and wonders. Father, we know one thing, and that is that you are good, that you have called us to this place, and we want to be where you are, God. Lord, we want to bring ourselves to the altar and say, invade, Lord, invade us. Invade our hearts, invade our times, our talents, everything, Lord. And we're going all in for you. We want to thank you. Lord, you know each heart. God, our heart is to move together as a family. So we want to say thank you that you have brought us to this place.